No, I didn't. I'm sorry. It was okay. Because h is here, so this is h of g. So just, well, we just encoded this, what it means, this map. What the elements of this set looks like. Now we assume that there are dense. And assume that g prime, and here there is a mistake. You multiply those two elements and you take, I'm confused now. It should be like that. So right cancellation now. So it should be switched here. I'm really sorry. The right cancellation now is equivalent to this one, and the left cancellation now is equivalent to that one. Sorry about that, but we continue this calculation. So now assume that g prime g is equal to g double prime g. Then this function is equal to f of g double prime g h of g, which is just in the same way, this is just a function delta f on h times 1 on g double prime g. So such function on this point is equal to, the value of this function on this point is equal to the value of this the same function on a different point. But if the set of function is dense in a tensor product of algebras, then you know that functions on a space separate points if a space is a compact. So if you have two points, then you cannot separate them by such functions. But this is dense in A times A, so you cannot separate them by any functions. Taking limits of these functions and linear span of these functions and limits, you see that all functions on spectrum A times spectrum A coincide on these two points. So these two points has to be the same pair, okay? Because functions separate points on a compact spaces. So this shows that this pair of points is the same like this pair of points, so g prime is equal to g double prime. So right cancellation now, I'm sorry, right cancellation, but because g multiplies from the right, right cancellation now is equivalent to this density, and the left cancellation now is equivalent to just here I showed that the one direction, but it is really equivalent. So cancellation now can be replaced by such a condition, such a density condition. Now we can give a definition of compact quantum group. What is a compact quantum group? It is a sister algebra with a unit. Why with a unit? Because if you have a compact group, then a sister algebra of continuous functions contains a unit. Constant function is a continuous function on a space, and it belongs to the sister algebra. Then assume that there is a comultiplication for this sister algebra. Then this pair A delta is called compact quantum group if the linear spaces given here. So if you have a cancellation law for this quantum object. Okay, so it was equivalent to the cancellation law on a classical level, and now we have quantum version of that. Well, it is just the same if you have a cancellation law. So this is very simple definition, and it leads to lots of strong mathematical statements. For instance, what is very nice about that is that for a compact group G, you can construct a Haar measure. If you have a compact group, if you have a group with multiplication and inverse and unit, then you construct a Haar measure for that. And what is a Haar measure? It is a measure such that if you multiply, if you shift your function, you take a function on the group G. Maybe it will be better to put it higher. If you take a function on G, and you can shift it by G prime. So you shift from the right this function and integrate the result, then this is the same as just integrating f.
But this is for classical
This is for classical, yes. So I'm just saying that in a classical, on a classical level, you have a Haar measure, you can construct it. This is the statement that there exists a Haar measure. And moreover, it is unique if you assume that the Haar measure of one, of a constant function, which is one on a group, then the value is one. And this, so Voronovich gave this definition and proved that you can construct a Haar measure on a quantum object, but we have to change a language a little bit. We have to say what is a Haar measure for a quantum group. So to do it, notice that the measure dg gives you a functional h, which is one on one, which is positive. If you integrate a positive function, you can get a positive number, and this invariance of this invariance of the measure can be translated into the following equation. What does it mean? First of all, this is just this shifting of the function. On the previous slide, we had shifted the function and then we integrated that. You had, in a sense, you had coproduct applied to f, then the coproduct applied to f, and you put g and g prime. You evaluate this coproduct in a point g and g prime. So that's why the coproduct appears here, and then you integrate with respect to g variable. So this h is in integration, but it is the same it is a constant. Well, it should be a function of g prime here, but it is really a constant function which is multiple of unit, and the same here. So this is, well, this is just expression which says that h is right invariant Haar measure, and it is also left invariant Haar measure. So we just defined a Haar measure for a quantum group in the same way. We say that h is a Haar measure for a quantum group if h is a positive functional. So if you take positive element of your sister algebra, if you take positive element, instead f take just a, which is positive, it is well-defined notion on a sister algebraic level, then h of f should be bigger than zero. This number should be bigger than zero. So h takes elements of this algebra and might make of it a number. If you applied h to the union, this is just one. This is just number one, and you have invariance condition. So that the theory that was proven that such a Haar measure always exists for a quantum compact quantum group defined by Voronovich. So such a there exists a unique Haar measure which is left and right invariant and which is positive and normalized. I have here a sketch of the proof, but maybe if you had some time, then I will come back to that. I will just omit this. The next important thing is that in a classical case, we know if you have a compact group, then you know quite a lot about its theory of representation. So you know that each representation is equivalent to the unitary representation. You can decompose representation into irreducible ones, and you can in a sense classify representations. So what about the quantum version of this fact? Well, we have to first of all define what is a representation of a quantum group, what is an irreducible representation of a quantum group, and then I will formulate the statement that the theory of representations of compact quantum group is as good as a theory of representations of a compact classical group. So, but now we have to somehow define what is a representation of a quantum group. So let us look at the classical case at first. So representation is a map from a group to the bounded operators on a Hilbert space. More precisely, this is a unitary element. And now you have to Well, you know that the representation is a map which satisfies this condition. If you evaluate your representation on a product, this is just a composition of operators. So how to you have to translate those conditions a little bit. First of all, we can identify sister algebra of functions tensored with compact operators with how to understand this sister algebra. This is just a sister algebra of maps from G to compact operators. So and you can see that such a map, this is a map from G to the bounded operators, which is not continuous in norm, but continuous in a strong topology operator, strong topology. So continuous map which are continuous map from G to compact operators which are continuous in norm topology is not a good we need something different, and this something different is the multiplier sister algebra of this sister algebra. It means that what you can identify this sister algebra with the algebra of maps from G to B of H, so from G to B of H, which are continuous in a strong operator topology. So therefore a representation, so such a map can be identified with element of this algebra. So if which is a unitary element of this algebra, and if now,
so the space of multipliers is missing parentheses.
Yes, there is missing parentheses. Here it should be put it here. Sorry. Like there. So now now we see that a representation of a classical group is an element of such an algebra. And the fact that we have this, which is unitary element of this algebra, because representation is unitary. And this equation can be translated into the following equation, which is, maybe I won't go, I have quite a lot of time. So this is equivalent to the fact that, well, you have the first stack of this element is in your algebra of functions. So you can apply coproduct to the first stack. And it will be, so it will be element of what? Of delta times identity on U. It will be element of multipliers of C G tensor C G tensor compacts. So it will be function of two variables with values on a bounded operators, because we have a multiplier here. And this equation is equivalent to that one. It means that you take U1-3, U2-3. Well, how to understand it? The third leg, which is the leg acting on a Hilbert space, so this is the leg belonging to the operators acting on a Hilbert space, is multiplied, is composed, which is related to this composition. And these two legs, which are not multiplied, can just take elements from G, Cartesian product with G. So if you just apply it to the G prime, this is a U G times U G prime. So the fact that you have is a U is a representation can be translated into such equation. And now the definition in the case, you have irreducibility. So we are still in a quantum, in a classical world. So U is a irreducible representation if any element which commutes with by Schulman, which commutes this, with this representation, is a multiple of unit. And now we have a definition of representation of a quantum group. So a representation of a quantum compact quantum group is a unitary element of the, well, appropriate algebra. Instead of C of G, we take a quantum group here, A. I'm lost. I did not define. Well, maybe I missed some slide. I forgot to define. So just representation is a element of representation of a quantum group is an element of multiplier. So A delta is a compact quantum group. U is an element of multipliers A times K, and U is unitary, and delta of times identity on U is U 3 1 U 2 U 1 3 U 2 3. So this is by definition, such an element is by definition a representation of compact quantum group. And this representation is irreducible. Then we have when we have the following, well, the similar thing. If you have a map, T is a map acting on a Hilbert space H. So if a map T commutes with U, then U is called irreducible if such an equation implies that T is a multiple of unit. Okay, so then we call U irreducible representation. And now we have an example. For instance, SUQ2 is a that I described at the previous lecture. SUQ2 is a compact quantum group, and such a matrix of elements is a irreducible representation of this compact quantum group. When you identify well, multipliers of that with the appropriate thing, then just this matrix of elements is a unitary two-dimensional irreducible representation of SUQ2. And now representation theory of a compact quantum group is as good as representation theory of a classical one. What does it mean? It means that you can prove that first of all, in a classical case, every irreducible representation of a compact group is finite dimensional. And this is also the case for a quantum group. Every unitary irreducible representation of a compact quantum group is a finite dimensional. And every representation can be decomposed into the direct sum of irreducible representation. So the theory of representation is as good as in a classical case. Maybe I will come back to the sketch of the proof that Haar functional exists. So yes. So. Yes. In a compact group, it's all right, and well, it leads you. You are probably approaching this Starhop version of yes. If you consider all irreducible representation, then you. You can define Hopf algebra of matrix coefficient of this representation, like in a classical case. So every compact quantum group leads you quite naturally to the Starhopf algebra of elements of unitary representations of this group. So in a sense, it means that this sister algebra description is not so very important at the level of compact groups, but nevertheless it is worth it to have it, because then we know what are continuous representations. When we have sister algebraic version, then we know what is a continuous representation of a group. And the theory is, well, the theory is quite nice. The statement that you can go to the Starhopf algebra is quite sophisticated. It is not so trivial, but okay. Right, so we have here the statement that there exists a Haar measure. So maybe I will just sketch the proof of that. So we have a compact quantum group, and we are looking for such a functional on it. So the construction goes as follows. So I will need some notation. First of all, if you have two functionals on A, so you have two maps from A to complex numbers, then you convolve them using, if A is a quantum group, then you convolve those functionals. You can define the new functional, which is given by that formula. You take delta of A, it is an element of A tensor A, and you can apply to each legs of this tensor product. On one leg, so on one leg you apply omega, and on the second leg you apply eta. So this gives you a new functional. And the functional is a state if rho is a state, by definition, if rho on one is one. And this is a faithful state if you have the following implication. If rho applied to such a positive element, so A star A is a positive element of A, and if rho applied to A star A gives you zero, then it should imply that A is a zero element. So rho is a faithful if you have the following implication. And now the construction of a Haar measure goes as follows. You take if A is a separable, if A is a not big, not too big sister algebra, if it is a separable sister algebra, then you can always find a faithful state on it. So you using some Banach, Hahn-Banach theorem, you can find a faithful state on it. And then you define, using this convolution, you define the following functional, Hn, which is a Cesaro mean of nth convolution of rho with itself. So you convolve rho n times and you add the result. And so by some functional analysis theory, you can show that Hn is convergent in some weak topology. So you can find the limit of this sequence Hn, which is and you define, and the Haar measure is just this limit. Well, let us check it. That this H is right and left invariant functional. But before we do it, let us calculate convolution of Hn with rho. So Hn with rho equal to convolution of rho with Hn. You can just, using this definition, show that this is Hn plus 1 over n and the combination of two functionals, of two convolutions, n plus 1 convolution of rho with itself minus n convolution rho with itself. So if n goes to infinity, then this is smaller and smaller, because you can see that this is bounded functional, and the norm of that is smaller than 2. Well, it doesn't matter very much, but you have 1 over n here, so it goes to 0. So if you take a limit with respect to n, then here you obtain that the following result, that that H convolved with rho equal to rho convolved with H, and it is equal to H. And it turns out that this is enough, for H to be Haar measure. Because we have the dilemma that if you have two states on A, and one of them is faithful, rho is faithful, And we have the same, we have this equality satisfied, that convolution of h times rho. So convolution was this this operation which produces from two states, from two functionals, it produces the next one. So if you convolve h with rho and rho with h, and you obtain h, then if rho is faithful, then h is the Haar measure on a delta. So, well, this is the way of finding the Haar measure in a sense. And for SUQ2, there is explicit formula for the Haar measure, which uses this representation that I described. Here we had this representation pi prime. And using this representation, we can write the formula for Haar measure for SUQ2. So it is, as far as I remember, I hope for, I checked this morning, this is n from 0 to infinity. We have q to the 2, to n. And you can, you take this, you take this orthonormal basis n h n k, and you put here h n 0 h n 0. So you just have an abstract theorem, but usually which tells you that there exists such an object. But usually it's possible to find the explicit formula for the Haar measure. There is a Hilbert space. Well, we started with the following thing. We had Starhoff algebraic description of SUQ2. And then there is a representation of the star algebra. The representation is given by a pair of operators which satisfy the relations of SUQ2. So you can check that if H is a Hilbert space with such an orthonormal basis, but it is a Hilbert space, and you can define two operators, alpha prime and gamma prime, such that on this orthonormal basis, you have a formula. It decreases this index and increase that one. Then they satisfy the relation, and it gives you a representation of a star algebra of quantum SUQ2. And this representation can be extended to the C-star algebra. So here we apply this, we can apply this H to any element of a C-star algebra.
So this integer K is
an integer, well, any integer, sorry. This is any integer because it has to be changed here. Maybe it was by two things. And so there is a theorem, but usually in all of the cases that I know, you can find the explicit formula for this Haar measure, for this invariant states, which is, well, the analog of the classical Haar measure. So you see that the theory, well, is quite nice. I mean, you can prove everything for quantum group, for compact quantum group, which was proven for general compact classical group. So, maybe I will finish. I have 3 minutes. So I will finish here. I mean.
So what is the relevance of this theory of compact quantum groups for the Lorentz quantum?
Iwasawa Lorentz group. It is the next example of quantum Lorentz group, and it is built on an SU2. And when I planned this lecture, I wanted. When I was in Warsaw and planned this lecture, I wanted to first of all describe Iwasawa Lorentz group waving hands a little bit. Then. No, Iwasawa Lorentz group is a non-compact quantum group, but it has a compact part. K is a SU2 here. Classically, it is SU2 here, and this, so Lorentz group can be factorized onto product of two groups of SU2 and AN. This is so-called Iwasawa, almost Iwasawa decomposition, because we just factorize on two groups. In fact, and then you quantize SU2 and you quantize AN. And then you can introduce a coproduct on that. But here I did not define really how it is, I did not say how it is defined, but I just said, well, I describe these two elements, and then we introduce quantum Lorentz, this two quantum version of that, okay? We describe that. And then we defined SL2C as a tensor product of two quantum object. Because if you have the composition, then SL2C as a space decomposes onto the Cartesian product of K by AN. So it's algebra of function decomposes onto the tensor products of SU2, of function on SU2 by function on AN. So we use this idea to build, to construct a quantum version of that, quantizing those two objects. So my plan was to give this definition, this sketchy construction, and then to explain it more from the deeper point of view, because this construction is an example of so-called quantum double construction based on SU2. So this is an example of general procedure, which, well, you have a quantum group SUQ2, then you take its dual version, which is also well defined, and you can impose you can introduce a new quantum group, and this construction is called quantum double. But to introduce that, I needed to go through theory of compact groups, and I overestimate. I counted the time in the wrong way, so I just was. But I wanted to give some axiomatic approach to quantum groups, and in case of compact quantum groups, it is not difficult to give the main idea, what is the axioms and what it gives you. So, okay. So thank you for your attention, and this is. I would like to stop here.
What is the significance? Why do you define a state that way? Is there some
condition? Yeah, because the state is this thing. It is a positive map. It should be positive map.
But why state one? I mean, is there some type?
Because the sum of probabilities should be one. Right. This is the. Yes. No, I would not. I would say that there is, well, in the paper of where Professor Voronovich introduced SUQ2, then he had also the chapter about differential calculus. But well, there are problems because it is not three-dimensional in a sense. Because well, on SU2 is a three-dimensional object, so its Lie groups also should possess this feature, but this is not the case. It turns out that there is a natural four-dimensional, bimodule. So this is not that good notion. When I was a student of Voronovich, and he not allowed me to. I mean, in a sense, he said that I should not read this part. I don't want to say anything. Maybe he would show, but I felt that he's somehow not happy. Oh, I have a mistake here. No, I have a mistake here. I have a star here, I'm sorry. Doesn't matter. I felt that he is not happy that he wrote that. The notion of Lie group is not a very good notion in the quantum world. Yes? Yes, there is something like Peter Weyl. Yes. There is everything which is true for a general compact group is also proven just by, well, you just had to find this nice definition. And then just, well, it was not so, I mean, when I saw at the proof of all classical results on the quantum level, it's just the repetition, but you change the language, just a little bit of change of language, which is almost for free here, very natural, and you can prove everything. All of the Peter Weyl theory also is the part of this, one of the theorem for proven for a compact quantum group. Yes, you know what is L2 function. It is when you have a, because it's enough to have just a Haar measure, right? If you have a measure, then you in a classical case, you just define L square of G with respect to this measure. And on the quantum case, this is not so, also not so difficult. You just introduce a scalar product on, so you have A, which is a quantum group, then you prove that there exists a Haar measure, and now you can introduce a scalar product for this continuous function on this quantum object. So you introduce A, B, by definition, it is H, A star, B. And now you just complete this A with respect to this scalar product, and you obtain L square of G. And then you can define everything. Right regular representation, you can show that all irreducible representations are contained in a right regular with the multiplicity of dimensions. So everything is just repeated. And so you can find all representations, in this way. So this is, well, and the definition is quite simple. I mean, you just assume that there is a sister algebra A with coproduct, and you have cancellation law. And then many results can be proven. All classical results has their quantum counterpart, except the existence of Lie. But this is not this is different world. Lie group is a different world than just compact groups. Well, I hope so, but has lots of doubts about that. But for instance, if you have a quantum group and you want to build a physical model, then you need a Minkowski space, quantum Minkowski space on which it acts. And in some cases, it is possible to do. Well, then you also need a Pontryagin quantum group, not only the Lorentz quantum group. That if the theory should be physical, then you need a Pontryagin quantum group. And for this Iwasawa-Lorentz group, you cannot construct Pontryagin quantum group, which is based on this Lorentz group. For Heisenberg-Lorentz quantum group, you can construct Pontryagin quantum group, which has a Lorentz group as a subgroup. You can construct Minkowski space on which it acts. And so you have in a sense some physics, but it leads to stupid predictions. I mean, people are not happy about that because they get that the stone would behave like it would accelerate in a sense, so all the time if there would not be no forces. Well, something like this. I do not know it very deeply, but I just heard that something like this might happen. So I don't know. I don't know if there would be really a physical model which uses that, but the framework is nice, and as a part of mathematics is nice, and maybe you will find some applications.